Fuzzy TV.
Yep, I have been continuously accusing the law types, the circumcision types, the gotta work, gotta reform types. I've been accusing them of just not being able to believe that grace is as good as it is, or worse, that the cross was not as effective as it was. And this is again called the snare of the cross, and you are going to hear a startling example of it today. Now, I know some folks, just a couple, it's like they want to move on from this. Stop talking about Johnny Green. It's like you're really beating up on him. Well, but this is still bearing fruit. This is still such a teaching opportunity. I can't pass it up. Because you are seeing someone actually living out first century drama. This is exactly the kind of thing Paul fought, and the kind of thing that the believers were threatened by all the time. So this is historic, that someone close to me, close to us, has departed the faith of Paul, the faith of grace, if they were ever in it in the first place, and are executing the exact same problem Paul had with the Galatians, introducing works, having to be perfected by works. So I mean, this is historic. It's notable. It has to be seized upon. And so, please, it's just going to be a couple more days. I'm getting like 1,300 views per show, so you folks are not exactly discouraging me. And I appreciate your comments, and I want everyone just to develop a hair trigger for recognizing this. That's one of my other goals, that you just be ready, that you're listening. You must be on guard all the time, and that's where the armor of God comes in. I'm probably going to talk about the armor of God very soon after this, like maybe on Thursday, because this is exactly the kind of thing the armor of God is for. All right, so let us start to finish the video made by my friend, still my friend, Mr. Johnny Green, although he hasn't contacted me since I've been doing this exposure and rebuke. I think he's gone rogue. But again, he's coming into his own as a circumcision teacher.
Verse 17 of Romans 1 says, God makes us right in his sight.
This is another example. Verse 17 of Romans 1 said, God makes us right in his sight. You remember what he said about verse 19? That's coming up. I'm not going to review that again, but I just wanted to make sure you heard this. God makes us right in his sight. Verse 17. Let me read verse 17 of Romans 1 just to show you that we're not even getting a true reading of Romans. For in it, God's righteousness is being revealed out of faith for faith, according as it is written, now the just one by faith shall be living. Where in there do you get God makes us right in his sight? It's true that God makes us right in his sight, but that is not what is being said in verse 17. It's talking about God's righteousness. In it, that is the evangel, God's righteousness is being revealed. This is about this first part of Romans is about God's righteousness. But Johnny and others want to keep focusing it on ourselves. And here it actually is this awful translation is actually true. God makes us right in his sight. But as we go on here, Mr. Green denies the very thing. So I'm going to jump ahead to the 10:07 mark. This is a 21-minute video. You've already heard the greedy believers being injected into Romans 1:19. So now we're going to be striking in on new material. Are you ready? Here we go.
Romans 1:21 says, they knew God, but they wouldn't worship him as God.
That's close.
Meaning they didn't reverence him in their lives concerning their sins.
Who's that?
They didn't have repentant hearts concerning their sins. They didn't want to let go of the world, that idolatry. Anything that's of the world is idolatry in comparison to how you are to serve your God.
That's what this section is all about. As I said, this section is all about idolaters. It's all about the people of the world, the worldly people who see God in creation, but they don't reverence him as God. But again, Johnny thinks this is talking about believers. Let's go on.
With your lives in repentance. If you choose to believe teachings that tell you you don't have to repent of the things of this world, that teacher is keeping you in idolatry.
Okay, he's talking about me. If you believe teachers who tell you that you don't have to repent of the things of this world, and that would be me and others, because, again, the truth of justification denies, flies in the face, it refuses to tolerate, repents. Repent of what? Being righteous? How do you repent of being righteous? Johnny doesn't believe he's righteous because he's operating in the circumcision gospel where people are not justified. They're operating on the repent and be forgiven. Repent and be forgiven. That's the Israel gospel. You have to understand, it's one of the big differences between Peter's gospel, the gospel Jesus preached when he was on earth, and the gospel the glorified Christ gave to Paul. It's justification. You're declared righteous versus repent, 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 and I'll forgive you. In other words, I'll look the other way at your sin for now. But if you don't toe the line, you can lose your pardon. Pardon and forgiveness, same root word in the Greek. You can lose it. It's probationary. Let's hear that again, because he's talking about me and my ilk. Here we go.
Choose to believe teachings that tell you you don't have to repent of the things of this world. That teacher is keeping you in idolatry.
No, you're keeping us in idolatry. With you, Johnny, we are worshiping the human will. We are worshiping our so-called ability to cleanse our lives of our sins. We are worshiping our own ability to look like Jesus by the end of our life, as you said earlier. That is, as you said earlier in this tape, that, sir, is idolatry. That is idolatry. I don't actively say, don't repent, don't repent. It's fine to change your mind about stuff. To change your mind. Paul tells people to repent, but he tells them actually to repent of their repentance. In other words, repent of the religious superstitions you held before. He's telling people of the nations, he's telling them to repent of their religious superstition. Johnny needs to repent of this repentance. He needs to repent of this. You see what I mean? So when Paul's telling people to repent, he's not telling them to repent of their sins, especially not here in Romans. Not even in Romans 12 when he talks about behavior. He does tell people to stop doing certain things, and I'm going to be getting into that, more on that, about delivering people up to Satan. But it's not as Johnny is presenting it here. It's one thing if you're ready to hang yourself and you're putting a noose around your neck and you're about to kick the chair under, out from under you, and I come in and say, stop it, don't do that, stop, repent, it's repent, change your mind, repent now, this is a sin, repent, repent. It's an emergency call to stop doing something. But the way Johnny presents it is you have to repent in order to be right with God. That is the big difference here, in order to be right with God. He's teaching you that you have to repent in order to be right with God. And I'm telling you that that is a slap in the face of Jesus Christ. Repent of what? Your sins. So Christ is looking at us saying, I took away your sins and you're now justified. You're supposed to be living in newness of life. What's this constant, I'm going to repent, I'm terrible. That insults Christ. Why would I tell anybody to repent all day of their sins? While Christ is up there smiling on us, God is smiling on us through Christ. He's saying, stop your whining. Stop your, it is a waste of breath. And he's saying, I'm turning people to idolatry? I'm turning people to Christ. Johnny's turning people to idolatry. Oh, and even in Romans 1:18, Paul says this. Paul says this in Romans chapter 1. I don't know if it's in verse 18, but it's in verse 23. Listen to this. talking about the people of the world. They change the glory of the incorruptible God into the likeness of an image. We know that they made false images. All the nations did. And Paul's talking about the nations here. They made false images, idols, into the likeness of an image of a corruptible human being and flying creatures and quadrupeds and reptiles. The point I want to make here is to the likeness of an image of a corruptible human being. Johnny Green is telling corruptible human beings to repent. Clean yourself up before it's too late. He actually uses that phrase later on here. It might be too late for you. It might be too late for me. Johnny thinks it might be too late for me. I'm already doomed. Me, personally, I'm already, he mentions me at the end of this video, I'm doomed. I'm leading you into idolatry by telling you you don't have to repent of your sins every freaking 5 minutes or every 5 hours or every 5 days because you've been declared right by God. You've been justified. Enjoy it. Enjoy it. Stop curling up in the fetal position, wondering if God likes you. What difference is this than the Catholic religion? What difference, I ask you? I had to remember my sins every month, go into that little booth, the shadowy shadow of the priest. Yeah, it was a shadowy shadow. I told you I thought God used to smell like Old Spice. The priest I went to wore Old Spice. I thought that was the smell of God. God smells like Old Spice. See, I didn't know it was Old Spice at the time. I just thought it was the smell of God. And then later, I smelled Old Spice, and I said, that's God. No, somebody said, that's Old Spice. Ah, frickin' the priest tricked me. Now, Johnny's trying to trick you here. You have to remember your sins constantly. That's what repentance is about. Repentance is to remember your sins. Remember your sins. When God is saying, I've remembered your sins no more. Well, that's your program, God. Sorry, but we have to remember them. No, Johnny's leading you into idolatry. Worshiping the corruptible human. Just absolutely terrible. Develop a hair trigger to spot this stuff. I almost called it shit, but I will not do that. I'm going to keep it clean on this video. Okay, he's getting very serious here. It's on. It's actually playing. He's just not saying anything.
Romans 1:22.
Because he was very serious after
that. Claiming to be wise.
This is me.
They became.
Utter fools?
Utter fools.
I knew it. I've become.
Utter fools.
Utter fools times two.
Verse 24, Paul continues.
I'm sure he does.
So God abandoned them.
God abandoned them in Romans 1:24? Let me see this. I know what he's referring to, Romans 1:24. Wherefore God gives them over in the lust of their hearts. And he thinks this is believers. Keep that in mind. We're going to see it again. To the uncleanness of dishonoring their bodies among themselves. That's not abandoning them. He acts like God just is no longer God, no longer the deity, no longer the placer, no longer the subjector. That these people have just been let loose and there's no control over them whatsoever. But there again, he's making up the translation. As he goes, we know that. We found that out with greedy believers. This is all new territory now, folks. You're listening to him.
Meaning the apostasy.
Meaning?
This is speaking about the apostasy.
Okay, there it is. There it is. He thinks that this is talking about the apostasy. Folks, you know what apostasy is. It is to fall back, to fall aside. Apostasy, you have to be a believer and then fall away. That's apostasy. He thinks... And we determine this early, that this Romans 1, verses 18 through Romans 3:20, I remind you again, is Paul preparing the way for an announcement of the evangel. He is demolishing the entire human race. First, the worldly man, then the Jew, and he is culminating the whole thing in Romans 3:10 and 11. There's no one righteous, no, not one. They've all gone out of the way. They're all wanting of the glory of God. That's the result of all this. He's saying that this is the apostasy. So he's putting believers here, justified people, and saying that any believer who does any of these things is in dire straits, is actually in danger of going to the lake of fire. Let's listen to that again.
Fools.
Utter fools. That's
verse 24. Paul continues.
I'm sure he does.
So God abandoned them, meaning the apostasy.
God abandoned them.
Speaking about the apostasy.
Meaning the apostasy. It's utter nonsense. See,
this is talking about the times that we're living in right now.
No, it doesn't. It talks about man without God, human beings without God. It's timeless. Paul is setting out the fate of human beings without God. There's no hope. There's nothing. In Romans 1, verse 18 through 3:20, he's setting out the fate, the intractable problem of human beings, including Jews, in this world without God. God comes along in Romans 3:21 and announces justification for all. Johnny never gets there because he's an Old Testament prophet with Old Testament tats, an Old Testament beard, an Old Testament scowl, and he wants you to feel guilt-ridden. He wants you to be crying in the fetal position and praying that God would forgive you, because he's putting you in Romans 1:18 where you don't belong.
So God abandoned them to do whatever shameful things their unrepentant hearts desire.
That's timeless, dude. It's timeless.
Verse 25. They traded the truth about God, and that truth is God hates all sin.
Dude, you can't get away from it. This guy is obsessed with sin. Johnny Green is obsessed with sin. They turned the truth of God into a lie. In the context, the truth of God is that God's great power and beauty is manifested in the creation. This has nothing to do with God hates sin. I'm going to play it again, and then I'm going to show you what the context says this is.
Repentant hearts desired.
Thank you for your indulgence, ladies
and gentlemen. Verse 25.
Verse 25. Here we go.
They traded the truth about God.
The truth about God.
And that truth is God hates all sin.
That truth is God hates all sin. Heaven to Johnny. Come in, Johnny. Jesus Christ died for all sin. Something was done about the problem, Johnny. Jesus Christ came and justified the whole human race by sending the entire old humanity to the tomb. God hates all sin. This guy can't get out of Stone Age. Let's go to Romans. It's because that which is known of God is apparent among them, for God manifests it to them. Verse 19. I still don't see greedy believers in there. Oh, well. Verse 20. For his invisible attributes are descried from the creation of the world, being apprehended by his achievements, besides his imperceptible power and divinity, for them to be defenseless. Johnny, this is timeless. Everyone who sees the stars and the moon and watches grass grow and trims their rose bush and drinks water and keeps living and breathing, they know there's a God. They know there's a God. And that is why God gives them over. Wherefore God gives them over. It's not here about God hates sin. Johnny's a broken record on that. This is about knowing God not as God. Do they give glory or thanks to him?
They traded that truth for a lie, that God will just look the other way concerning your sins. Because
okay, here it is. Here it is. If I don't get past this, this is what I've been building. This is what I was telling you about, okay? Get ready for this. Okay, they alter the truth of God into a lie. The truth of God in the context is that God's power is manifest in the creation. That's the truth of God. And they traded that for a lie, and they started worshiping the creature rather than the creator. And Johnny accuses other people of perverting, of twisting Romans. He doesn't get out a sentence. Every sentence he's twisting Romans. He's quoting it, putting his own thoughts into it, putting his own words into it, using bad translations, making it all about your sin, putting believers in here. I mean, I can't think of how it could be possible to pervert the book of Romans any more than what this man is doing it. Now listen to this.
That truth for a lie, that God will just look the other way concerning your sins, because you've got this magical golden ticket that allows you to live any way you want and be indifferent to it.
You people think, says the Old Testament prophet, you people think you have some magic golden ticket that just lets you live any way you want and would make God look the other way at sin. In other words, you sinners think that, like, what, some magical being, some, I don't know, Son of God came down from heaven and went to the cross, and while you're doing absolutely nothing, he took all your sins away, pronounced you righteous. So now you think that because of that, whatever, that you can just live any way you want. That you're free. You think some magical being came down from heaven to set you free, so that now you can live any way you want. In other words, you're not beholden to obedience. You're not beholden to laws and commandments. You're free. You people think, what is this golden ticket that you think will cause God to look the other way? Johnny, it's called the cross of Christ. How dare you belittle, besmirch, and nullify the cross of Christ by basically turning it into stupid, wishful thinking. A, quote, magical golden ticket that just frees us to live any way we want. And we actually think that God is going to look the other way at sin? What I didn't finish saying there, because I was getting too upset, is that not only does God look the other way at our sins, Johnny thinks that would be amazing enough, like who could ever dream and think God looks the other way, but he looks right directly at us and he says, I love you, you are just in my sight, looks at us. Johnny's not even at the point of him looking the other way. That would be forgiveness. Johnny's not even at the point of forgiveness, which is why I said yesterday he's not even yet attained to the circumcision gospel. But this is way beyond his ken. This is beyond his capability. I see now of grasping that God not only, you know, looking the other way, but he's looking directly at you and pronouncing you just. This is the language of a man who, if I didn't know any better, I would say that this person never heard the news, never got the memo, never received the information that God sent his only begotten Son into the world to take away the sins of the world. And whoever believes in him, God declares him to be righteous by faith in his blood. If I didn't hear anything else and I heard this, even the first 12 minutes of this video, we're up at the 12-minute mark. If I heard this, I would think to myself, somebody needs to tell this guy that God sent his only begotten Son into the world to take away the sins of the world, and that through the shedding of his blood, those who have faith in that blood are now declared to be righteous because this man took the old humanity, crucified the old humanity and all of its curses. He took all the potential curses away, and now you can live free lives. You're not bowing down every 10 minutes in fear and trembling before an angry deity. That he actually has freed us, and it's called grace. And Paul puts it quite well in Galatians 5:1, for freedom Christ frees you. And this man, Johnny Green, is, what do you think? People got some golden ticket? Yeah, we do. Let me play this again. This should verify. Let me play it again, and then I'll tell you what it should verify for you, okay?
That God will just look the other way.
Oh, God will just look the other way concerning sin. God will just look the other way.
They traded that truth for a lie.
The lie that God hates sin, yeah.
God will just look the other way concerning your sins.
God will just look the other way. Oh, John, you just can't believe that God would ever look the other way at your sins. Dude, it's not only that. That's forgiveness. This proves that Johnny Green is operating in the realm of pardon, of forgiveness, of repentance, of maintaining your salvation every single day, just like the Israelites of old had to do with the tabernacle system, bringing their sacrifices into the temple in the day of the Day of Atonement. And me in confession back in the third grade, he's taking us back to that time when we weren't free, when we were bound in fear to a retributive God, to a temperamental, angry deity who was ready to pull out the rug from us at any time. Johnny is still living in that realm. He's living there. This is astounding. Absolutely astounding. I'll try to play it through.
That God will just look the other way concerning your sins, because you've got this magical golden ticket that allows you to live any way you want and be indifferent to it. Go back and watch my last video I posted about Laodicea.
Why the hell would I watch your last video about Laodicea? You're in Revelation, dude, Church of Laodicea. Why the hell, after this, would we go watch any of your videos? And that's right, Johnny the Baptist Green. We can be indifferent. But we're not indifferent. We're indifferent to sin, but we're not indifferent, period, because now our affections have been taken from trying to conform ourselves to the image of God. Our affections have been taken from examining our lives, examining ourselves, and now they've been taken to Christ. Now we look at Him. So it's not indifference. You might say, yeah, it is indifference concerning sin. It's like, no, that can't do anything to me anymore. Sin, sin, remember? Sin's always going, I can keep you from God. I can curse you. I can wreck your life. You're not justified. That's what we're indifferent to, Johnny. We're indifferent to that. And you don't like it. You don't like it. What, do you people think I have some golden ticket? You think some magical being came down from heaven and took away your sin or something so that you can live free lives and be justified? You.
Any way you want and be indifferent to it. Go back and watch my last video I posted about Laodicea.
No thanks.
You become indifferent to your sins.
Damn straight.
You're lukewarm. You don't care. You're not hot. You don't try to fight it.
You don't try to fight it. That's the Old Testament. That's the law of Moses. Try to fight it. There it is. You don't try to fight it. What's the matter with these people? What, do you got a golden ticket? What's the matter with you people? You don't try to fight it anymore. Well, I can't believe it. You're like Martin Zender. You're just walking around talking about Christ and how much Christ did for you and how much his sacrifice meant and how he justified you and he declares you righteous because of his blood. What the hell you think people think you got some kind of magic golden ticket, you son of a gun? Go watch my video on Laodicea. Yeah, right. I'm going to turn right to it. Yeah, if it's more of this, how can I not want more of this? It's like I haven't banged my head against the wall enough here, Johnny. Unbelievable.
You become indifferent to your sins, meaning you're lukewarm. You don't care. You're not hot. You don't try to fight it. And you're not cold.
I don't try to fight it. What's cold? I don't try to fight it. What's cold?
You are indifferent.
I'm indifferent to it, but not to Christ.
If you sin, you sin. If you don't, you don't.
That's Christ's department. I don't want to sin, but that's not my department anymore. The Spirit of God makes his home in me, and I grow in the growth of God. I'm now to set my affection on things above. Where are you sending me? Laodicea? No, I'm not buying a ticket for Laodicea. What the hell?
That's indifference.
It's indifference. Why would I want to go to Laodicea? This is driving me crazy. I'm going to stop this video. We'll pick up tomorrow.
The result of their unrepentance.
No, repentance. He loves that word. How many times
apostasy.
Can you... The result of their unrepentance is apostasy. See, he thinks it's about the apostasy of the church in Romans 1:18. It's about the condition of the world without Christ. I'm blowing a gasket here, okay? So I'm going to have to take it easy. I'm going to have to stop for the time being, okay? But I'll be back. I'm going to play the rest of this. I got to, for consistency's sake, but not just that. But there's a lot of things to be taught here, as you can see. There's a lot of inspiration we can find in order to turn away from this Old Testament Stone Age prophet and turn to the truth, to the light, to the sacrifice of Christ, whose blood was shed so that we can be right with God, so that we no longer have to live in fear and worry and constant self-analysis and repentance. But indeed, as Paul says in Galatians 5:1, for freedom Christ frees you, and we are free people.